configuring the Zoom Windows client. I've logged out of Zoom so that I can hopefully start from where you are, and I'm going to launch the Zoom client now by going to the Start menu.
Search box edit.
Typing Zoom.
Start Zoom, desktop app.
Here's Start Zoom, and I'll press Enter to launch it.
Zoom Cloud Meetings. Zoom Cloud Meetings.
And I'm presented with two options.
Join a meeting button, sign in button.
I tabbed between them. So we can join a meeting or we can sign in. So it is possible to install the Zoom client and join a meeting without actually having a Zoom account. As we saw earlier when we launched the Zoom launcher, you'll be asked for your name, and Zoom can remember that if you wish, and then you can go ahead and attend as many meetings as you like without actually having a Zoom account of your own. But I'm assuming that you do want to host your own meetings and use Zoom for other purposes, so we're going to go ahead and sign in. I'll press the Tab key.
Join a meeting button.
And once more.
Sign in button.
To sign in and press Enter.
Email edit.
I'm prompted for my email address, and I'll type it in there, and then press the Tab key.
Password access denied. Password edit.
There's a little bit of erroneous speech there at the moment, and let's take a look at the client that I'm using right now.
Zoom Meetings version 4.0.35295.0605.
So that may be fixed in a subsequent version of the client. I just found that version number by pressing the JAWS command, Control and the JAWS key and V. I'm going to type my password in, which is quite lengthy, and then press the Tab key.
Keep me logged in, checkbox not checked.
I do want to be kept logged in, so I'll press the spacebar to check this box.
Checked.
And press the Tab key.
Sign in button.
And there's a sign in button, but there are other controls in this dialog, so I'll press the Tab key to explore those.
Forgot your password? Link.
This will take us to a web page where we can go through the password recovery process. That's pretty standard.
Sign in with SSO button. Sign in with Google button. Sign in with Facebook button.
So a few alternative sign in options.
Back button. Or sign up link.
And you can sign up from within the client if you don't have a Zoom account yet and you would like one.
Email, password, keep me logged in, sign in button.
I've tabbed back to the sign in button and I'm going to press the space bar to activate that button there.
Zoom connecting, tab.
I'll read my window title now.
Zoom Pro account.
And I'm logged in and I'm told that I have a Pro account. Now I'm on a screen that has no menu bar. If I tap the Alt key.
Menu bar, system, Z.
We simply have a system menu, and left and right arrow does nothing, so I'll press the Alt key to dismiss the system menu.
Leaving menus. Home tab check selected.
And we have a series of tabs on the screen, which we'll explore a little bit later, but now we're focusing on configuration, so I'll press the Tab key.
Status. Available button drop. Settings button.
And here's a settings button, so I'm going to press the space bar to activate that.
Settings.
Now the settings screen is up, and it's important to note that this is a subset of the settings that are available on Zoom. There is a wider range of settings available on the Zoom website itself, and you can get to that by choosing a link that is on the screen called Enable Advanced Features. When you do that, a browser window will open, and you'll be taken to the Zoom website where you can take a look at a wide range of settings. And we'll explore those a little later. If you upgrade from a basic account to a Pro account, you will have a wider range of settings, both in the client and from the Zoom website. So the first tab,
General tab check selected,
is the General tab, and we'll take a look at the settings on offer here.
Start Zoom when I start Windows, checkbox not checked.
Because you can use Zoom for instant message type chats as well as one-on-one calls, you may want to have the Zoom client run whenever Windows starts. If you would like to do that, then you can check this box.
Silently start Zoom when I start Windows, checkbox not checked.
That will cause Zoom to start at Windows startup, but it will minimize to the system tray. And there's a handy menu on which you can right-click and get a series of useful options.
When closed, minimize window to the notification area instead of the taskbar, checkbox checked.
When I press Alt-F4 to close the Zoom window once I've launched it, it minimizes to the system tray. It keeps it out of the way of the Alt-Tab order, but it's there in the system tray whenever I need it.
Automatically copy invitation URL to clipboard after meeting starts checkbox not checked.
Your personal meeting ID remains constant unless you have a pro account and you choose to change your personal ID to make it something more easy to remember. But you won't always want to use your personal ID for every meeting. There may be some instances where you want to give your meeting a unique identifier. In that case, you may want to invite people to that meeting, and it can be a very useful feature to automatically have Zoom copy that meeting identifier to the clipboard whenever you start a meeting. The downside of this is that if you have something of significance copied to the clipboard, then Zoom will overwrite it if you check this box.
Confirm with me when I leave a meeting checkbox checked.
When you press Alt F4 to leave a meeting, you'll be prompted whether you want to leave the meeting or end the meeting. If you simply leave the meeting, then it can go on if you nominate another host.
Show my connected time checkbox not checked.
This will display the time that you've been connected to the meeting.
Use dual monitors checkbox not checked. Enter full screen automatically when starting or joining a meeting checkbox not checked.
I choose to have this unchecked because I'm typically focused on the meeting controls, especially since, because of the limitations we discussed at the beginning of this tutorial, any screen sharing that is taking place is not accessible.
Enter full screen automatically when viewing screen shared by others checkbox checked.
I'm going to uncheck this box for the reason described before.
Not checked. Maximize Zoom window automatically when viewing screen shared by others checkbox not checked. Scale to fit my Zoom window when viewing screen shared by others checkbox checked.
So there are a number of visual settings here.
Enable the remote control of all applications checkbox not checked.
This is a good time for me to talk about the remote control feature from two perspectives, doing the controlling and having your computer controlled. Let's talk about the latter first, because this is a very powerful and useful feature. The remote control feature is a little bit like Jaws Tandem, where somebody can take control of your computer, you still have control at any time, and can stop the remote controlling if you fear that somebody's going somewhere that they oughtn't. But one of the things that's exciting to me about this is firstly that it's cross-platform. So I have a sighted daughter who quite often is willing to help me out of a technical bind, and at the moment she's using a Mac. She doesn't boot camp her Mac, therefore putting Jaws on her computer isn't an option because she's running Mac OS. But using Zoom, she's been able to set up a meeting with me, and I've been able to grant her remote access to my computer. She's able to hear my Jaws speech. I'm able to hear what she's doing, and she's able to take a look at perhaps an application that may be inaccessible. For example, we provide advice to companies on the accessibility of their apps, and sometimes it's useful for me to get a sighted person to tell me a little bit about what the app is doing if I'm having some accessibility issues. Heidi's very good at describing these things to me, and from her house, using her Mac, she's able to work with my Windows machine. That cross-platform ability is absolutely fantastic. This means then that without having to install a screen reader or any blindness-specific tool, if you need help of any kind from a sighted person on a number of desktop platforms, particularly Mac OS and Windows, then they can get into your machine with your permission, take control, and you can still hear what's going on because of the way that this system works. If, as a blind person, you want to do the controlling, you will be able to have some success. So I have been able to do a bit of this in reverse. I've been able to request remote control of Heidi's computer running Mac, and of course she can also volunteer control as well, so it's a two-way process. Either way, there has to be an agreement between the two computers and the people running them. Once permission has been granted, a sighted person would then click on the appropriate area of the screen, and that would begin the process of taking control. If you're very good with your Jaws cursor and you've got a bit of luck, you may be able to do that, but Zoom has included a hotkey for this purpose. So once permission has been granted for you to take control, you'd press Alt-Shift-R for remote. And when you do that, you should then be able to do things like tab through the window that currently has focus. It's important to stress that this is all contingent, of course, on the computer that you're controlling having a screen reader running. So you're not going to get any speech whatsoever unless the computer user is sharing their sound with you, which is a checkbox that comes up when you choose to do screen sharing. So they must be sharing their sound, and they must be running a screen reader of some description. I have on my Windows machine been able to hear Heidi's voiceover speech and control her Mac computer with some limited success. If I were a mouse user, it would be very easy for me to change windows and do some of those tasks that are generally necessary if you're trying to do some troubleshooting on someone's computer, or even do some training really on someone's computer. But the limitation is that operating system keyboard commands are not overridden by this remote control feature. In other words, if I Alt-Tab, then I am Alt-Tabbing out of the Zoom window on my local machine. I'm not executing an Alt-Tab on the remote machine. Now, if you're a mouse user, that's not a problem because there's a little bit of screen there. You can maximize the screen and you can click on the taskbar with the mouse. But keyboard control is somewhat limited. So you can certainly, as a fellow Mac user or even a Windows user controlling a Mac or a Windows user controlling another Windows machine, do some limited control, but you are going to have to rely on the other user to do certain controls if you don't have the ability to use the mouse. So in that regard, particularly for a Windows to Windows experience, JAWS Tandem still has significant advantages, particularly where there are two blind people involved. That said, this is a pretty cool solution, particularly when there is another sighted person involved.
Play sound when I receive a chat message, checkbox checked. Show floating notification when I receive a chat message, checkbox checked. Show offline contacts, checkbox not checked.
As we'll see later, you can add contacts to your Zoom client, and this tidies up the view a little by only showing you contacts that are online at the moment.
Show my status as offline when I am inactive for checkbox checked. 2 combo box.
At present, if I'm inactive for more than 2 minutes, my status is changed automatically to offline.
Manage blocked users button.
If you have to block someone, you can manage those users here, potentially unblock them if you wish.
Enable advanced features link.
And there's the advanced features link that we talked about previously.
General tab check selected.
I'll move on to the next tab, and I do that by pressing the down arrow key. Left and right arrow keys don't work here.
Audio tab check selected. 0.
Now I'm on the audio tab of settings, and there may be a couple of things that I have here that you don't see at the moment. I have a Pro account, and there are a couple of really good audio features that are only available to Pro account holders. It's worth noting that if these features or any others that we cover are attractive to you and you have a basic account at this stage, that you can get a bit of a discount if you pay for a Pro account a year up front. And I have a PayPal subscription that charges me every year. I believe it works out to a little over $12 a month, so there is some saving to be had that way.
Test speaker button.
If I press 6. The spacebar,
7.
I'm getting a little bit of extraneous speech, some numbers spoken there, but I'm also hearing a 8. Chime, and that tells me that I can hear the speakers okay. I'll press the spacebar to stop that little jingle.
4.
And now I'll press the tab key.
Test mic button.
What happens here is that if I press the spacebar and talk, it will record a little bit of me and then start to play it back. And at this point, you will hear 1. Just how good the audio from Zoom actually is. So I have the channel that Zoom is using wound up on the 7. Mixer, and let's press the spacebar. This is Jonathan Mosen recording on the Zoom 1. Audio conference, and I think very shortly it will start.
This is Jonathan Mosen recording on the 3. Zoom 1. Audio conference, and I think very shortly.
There we go. So that's really great audio. I'll press 6. The tab key.
Playback on USB audio codec combo box. Settings general test.
Now I can choose which device Zoom uses. 1. That's really important if we're going to record some demonstrations of technology, for example,
0.
Because you may want to make sure that your screen reader speech is using a different sound card from your Zoom audio. More on that a little
7.
Later. Or tab.
Speaker volume 100% left right slider. 255.
That's the volume 9. Control for the speaker. I use a mixer, so I tend to control the volume from the mixer itself. I'll press tab. 5.
Input 3/4 complete audio 6 WDM audio combo box.
And that's the input that Zoom is using.
4.
If you want to change this, then you can use Alt down arrow.
List box input 1/2 S/P microphone array.
And I've got a whole bunch 9. Of devices here.
And H input microphone same assist. /input1/input3/
presenter to accept that. You can also just use the Windows system default if you prefer. I'll press the tab key.
Microphone volume 100% left right slider. 255.
And press tab again.
Automatically adjust microphone checkbox checked.
If you're concerned that there may be some distortion or something like that, then you can check this box and Zoom will automatically adjust the microphone level based on how much audio it's getting.
Automatically join audio by computer when joining a meeting checkbox checked.
I recommend that you check this option. We talked about this in the context of launching a Zoom meeting without having the full client installed. This means that when you attend a Zoom meeting, your audio is joined automatically. It's one less thing to have to do. If this checkbox is not checked, then it means that whenever you go to a Zoom meeting, you're going to have to press the Join Audio button before you can hear anybody in the meeting and anybody can hear you.
Always mute microphone when joining meeting checkbox not checked.
So you can join the audio if you wish, but also have your microphone muted.
Enable stereo checkbox checked.
Stereo audio is not available to basic users at this time. I have noticed in the 2 and a bit years that I've been using Zoom that sometimes features that were at one point pro get extended in some way to basic, but at the time of this recording, you do need to have a pro account or higher to be able to use stereo audio. If you enable stereo audio, it means that if you play something from an app that you're sharing that is in stereo, such as a YouTube clip or something from your media player of choice, and it's in stereo, then meeting participants will hear it in stereo. At this time, the recordings that Zoom makes are not in stereo, even if you do enable a stereo meeting. So do be mindful of that. When you get a recording back, whether that recording is made locally or from the cloud, it will be in mono, even if you've chosen to enable this stereo option.
Allow option for using original sound from microphone in meeting checkbox checked.
This is another feature not available to holders of basic accounts. And if you're serious about your audio, maybe you want to use this for a regular podcast, it may well be worth paying for a pro account just to get this feature if you're very particular about your audio. I've not been able to find any documentation on this feature, but in playing with it, it seems that when you enable original sound, it turns off a lot of Zoom's processing and echo cancellation features. So if you have a good quality mixer and audio is important to you, this is a great feature to enable. In talking to the people at Zoom support about this option, they tell me that the original sound option only applies to the individual who has enabled it. So if you're the host of a meeting and you turn on original sound, that doesn't mean that everybody on the meeting is going to be sending uncompressed audio. It only means that you are. The easiest way to get access to this original sound feature is to go pro. However, there may be a workaround, and I don't know whether it's an accident or whether this is intentional. I found that when adding Bonnie to my account, and I'll talk about why we might add someone to our account a little bit later, even when her account is set to basic mode, because we only have one pro license that we share between each other, she still has access to the stereo sound and original sound options on her account. And that could be because the master switch, if you will, as we'll see later when we go to the website, for both of these settings is under account settings. So one possible way to get original sound for everybody, even if they're not pro, is for one person to go pro and for that person to add multiple users, perhaps who are on a podcast with each other regularly, to that one account. They'll still be basic and they will still have those basic limitations when initiating their own meetings. But it does appear at the time of this recording that they will then inherit the original sound and stereo sound options.
Audio tab check selected.
That's the end of the audio tab, so I'll down arrow.
Video tab check selected.
And now we're on the video tab. I'll press tab and we'll briefly take a look at this.
Toshiba Web Camera FHD Combo Box. Settings General Audio Video Recording Advanced Features Statistics Accessible.
A little bit of verbosity there, but we're being asked for the video device that we want to use for meetings when video is enabled. The only video device I have access to right now is the webcam built into the front of the Toshiba laptop that we're using.
16. 9 widescreen radio button checked.
We can choose that or down arrow.
Original ratio radio button not checked.
And you'll notice that by down arrowing, we haven't actually selected this radio button. If you do want to change any of the radio buttons on this screen, you are going to have to press the space bar. And now let's perform a say line.
Original ratio radio button checked.
It's checked now. I'll up arrow.
16. 9 widescreen radio button not checked.
And press the space bar again because I have no cause to change this ratio.
Enable HD checkbox not checked.
HD is wasted on me and it uses a lot of bandwidth, so I'm choosing to have it not checked.
Enable mirror effect checkbox checked.
What tab?
Touch up my appearance checkbox not checked.
I think I could probably use all the help I can get in that department, so that's touch up your appearance. I'll leave that unchecked though, which is the default.
Display participant's name on their video checkbox checked. Turn off my video when joining meeting checkbox checked.
I prefer to have this checked because the thought of inadvertently having video enabled when I don't realize that I'm broadcasting to the world horrifies me. So I have my video turning off by default when I join a meeting. If I ever have cause to enable it, perhaps I'm talking with a sighted person who wants to see me, then I will need to expressly enable it on a meeting-by-meeting basis, and that's what I personally prefer. You can set it the way that works for you.
Hide non-video participants checkbox not checked. Spotlight my video when I speak checkbox not checked. Didn't see any video. Troubleshooting link.
And there's some troubleshooting options here.
Video tab checked selected.
Let's down arrow.
Recording tab checked selected.
Now we're on recording, and there are some really interesting options here. If you want to use the Zoom service for podcast recording or simply for recording things as a matter of record, or press tab, it's important to note that these features relate to local recording.
Store my recordings at C, users JMOS and Dropbox Zoom Edit.
I have my Zoom recordings stored in my Dropbox. That means that they're available to all of my devices, and I have the 1 terabyte Dropbox plan. So it's not too arduous to store these in Dropbox. Also mindful that the recordings are compressed in M4A format, so they don't take up that much space.
Open button.
You can open the folder, and that will cause File Explorer to pop up at the folder that's specified here.
Change button.
And you can change the folder as well.
Choose a location for recorded files when meeting ends checkbox not checked.
If you want, you can be prompted for a folder when the meeting ends. If you run a number of podcasts, for example, then you may want to be able to save the recording in the folder pertinent to the podcast that you've just recorded.
Record a separate audio file for each participant who speaks checkbox checked.
This is extremely powerful. Because let's say you have a podcast that you're recording and there might be 4 people, including yourself, who are participating in that podcast. It means that you can have a separate M4A file for each of those participants. And if you're skilled with a multi-track editor such as Amadeus Pro on the Mac or Reaper in Windows, the Mac, and a whole range of platforms, you can open all of these M4A files in a project and then you're able to equalize each speaker to make sure that they sound optimal, and you can pan them as well. So even though you've interviewed all of these people on the internet, you get a wonderful stereo spread where you can have people in slightly different places on the stereo spectrum and make a really great recording that people will enjoy listening to.
0.0 gigabytes used. You have 1 gigabyte of cloud record storage. Manage ... button.
This is a feature available only to pro account holders. So the options that we've just seen related to local recordings on your hard drive. But if you have a pro account, now we look at the cloud recording features. These are important, as I mentioned earlier, particularly if you find yourself in a spot where you want to record a meeting on your iPhone. Apple has quite strict rules when it comes to recording anything telephony. You can't record a phone call. There are no call recorder apps in the App Store other than those that try to get around the feature by using a conference call facility where you have to dial into a number, 3-way call, and then make your call. It's all a bit convoluted. But because this recording process is happening in the cloud, you can activate a cloud recording even from the iOS app and go ahead and record. I find this feature extremely useful when I'm mobile and I unexpectedly have to record an interview. You can get a small USB to Lightning adapter. It's known as the iPhone Camera Connector Kit, but it works for far more than cameras, including USB microphones. So you can, in fact, connect either a Lightning accessory microphone that has a very good sound, such as the Zoom IQ5, 6, or 7, and no, the Zoom in this case is not related to the Zoom cloud meeting service, or you might be able to plug your existing USB microphone in using this connector kit and make a very high-quality recording that you can then download and edit in your studio when you have a chance to. If I press the spacebar here,
Mozilla Firefox.
And this causes my default browser to be launched, and I'm now on the web page where I can take a look at any recordings that are here, delete them, or download them. I'll press Alt F4 to exit Firefox, and now press the Tab key.
Recording tab checked selected.
Now we'll down arrow.
Advanced features tab checked selected.
And we've got some advanced features.
Enable advanced features link. Edit my profile link. Change my subscription link. Advanced features tab checked selected.
And that's the advanced features tab. We'll take a look at some of the features on the website shortly.
Zero. Statistics tab checked selected.
The statistics settings are applicable while you're actually in a meeting, and so we will go into a meeting in just a moment so I can show you these in action. And they let you review the send and receive rate of audio, video, and screen sharing during a call, as well as overall system performance. One of the attractive features of Zoom is actually its bandwidth requirements are quite modest. Zoom recommends upload and download speeds of between 1.2 and 1.5 megabits per second to get the best experience from a desktop system such as a Mac or a PC. And that's fairly modest by today's standards. Most cellular connections can even do this, which opens up a wealth of opportunities for meeting attendance. If you want to check the bandwidth of the connection that you're on, you'll be pleased to know that speedtest.net now has an accessible version of its Speedtest website, which uses HTML5 instead of the older Flash, and it's in beta as of June 2017. If you'd like to use that, you can go to beta.speedtest.net. That's beta.speedtest.net. I'm going to escape out of settings now.
Settings button.
And we're back on the settings button. And you may be thinking, whoa, we've made some changes and didn't press OK. There is no OK button in that dialog. So once you have made the change, it remains changed unless you revert. I'm going to start a meeting now, so I'll tab around this dialog and we're on the home screen of this main Zoom application dialog.
Start with video button. Start without video button.
I'm going to start with video in this case because that will give us a wider range of statistics, so I'll shift tab.
Start with video button.
And press the spacebar.
Zoom. Alert. You are using the computer audio.
And you will remember that we set my configuration up so that video is automatically turned off by default. So this takes us back to a hotkey that we used earlier. We press Alt-V to turn on our video, since on my settings, it's toggled off by default.
Alert. Video now started.
And we get a very clear message saying, alert, video now started, just by pressing Alt-V. So hopefully no one else is in my personal meeting room and seeing my disheveled state, but we are up and running with both audio and video. But now that we've created a meeting, I'm going to Alt-Tab back into the main Zoom application, because when you start a meeting, it pops out into its own window. That's extremely handy. So I'll Alt-Tab.
Studio Recorders, Zoom Meeting ID, 6, Zoom Pro Account.
And there's the one we want. It's called Zoom Pro Account.
Zoom Pro Account tab.
I'll tab until we locate the settings.
Status, busy button dropdown.
You'll note that my status has now been set to busy because I'm in a meeting, so that's something that occurs automatically and is very handy. I'll tab once more.
Settings button.
Now we're back to our settings, and I'll press the spacebar to activate that button.
Settings.
And I'm going to locate the statistics tab, which should be full of life now that the meeting has begun. I'll press tab.
General tab check selected.
And down arrow.
Audio tab check selected. Video tab check. Recording tab checked. Advanced features. Statistics tab check selected.
And press tab again.
Overall tab check selected.
And we have overall statistics 6. First. I'll press the JAWS key with B to read the window.
Settings general overall audio video screen sharing audio video CPU 2.8 GHz cores. 2 memory 15.92 gigabytes recording zoom 5% zoom 118 megabytes advanced features overall 13% overall 2.86 gigabytes statistics accessibility bandwidth 0 kilobit slash s and 0 kilobit slash s receive network type wired proxy connection type cloud 8 6 7 8.
So you're seeing a lot of data there, including information about the CPU in use on this particular machine and how much of that CPU is being used. We can also see other statistics. Because I'm the only one in the meeting at this point, obviously things are pretty quiet. So we'll tab.
Statistics tab check. Overall tab check selected.
Now I'll right arrow.
Audio tab check selected.
We're able to see a number of things here, and there may be some accessibility issues, but it could also be that I'm the only person in the meeting right now, so maybe some of these things aren't showing up. But you can see latency, for example. Latency is very important. If you've ever been on a voice-over internet telephony call, and you notice that there's a delay between when you speak and when the other person hears you, that's what's known as latency. So latency is really important, especially if you're running a meeting where there are many participants. It can make or break the meeting. So you can check latency here, you can check the frequency that's in use, and a range of other statistics. I'm going to press Shift Tab.
Statistics tab check selected.
And we're back on the list of main tabs, and I'll down arrow to the next one, which will be of significance to all of us, I think.
Accessibility tab check selected.
Now we're on accessibility. Let's tab and see what's here.
Always show meeting controls. You can also use the Alt key to show slash hide meeting controls checkbox checked.
I personally always prefer to show the meeting controls without having to press Control Alt Shift, which is a way to get the meeting controls if you don't have this feature enabled. And the reason for that is that the screen sharing isn't accessible anyway, so I don't see a reason not to have the meeting controls on the screen at all times. It's not as if it's obscuring something that as a blind person is accessible to me. So I check this box, and you may well like to do the same for easier access to your meeting controls.
Closed caption font size, 0, normal, 1, middle, 2, large, 0% left right slider, 0.
It's great to note that Zoom supports closed captioning. This is useful not just to our friends who are deaf, but also for deaf-blind people who might be working with a braille display. This particular setting in the client determines the font that's going to be used on your particular client when you see closed captioning. If you want your meetings to be capable of closed captioning, then you first have to enable closed captions, and you do that by going to the website and then choosing settings and then your profile, and you can enable it from there. We'll take a look at those settings soon because they are quite extensive. Once you've done that, when you're in a Zoom meeting, then you would select closed captions. When you make that selection within your meeting, you'll be prompted to type the captions yourself, or if you want to, you can assign another participant to do that for you. You'll be able to type captions into the text box and press Enter to submit the caption. If you need to change the person who's writing the captions, then you can do that at any time under Manage Participants while you're within your meeting. Then you select More in relation to the user who will be writing the captions. If you're a meeting participant, you'll receive a notification that closed captions are available, and you can choose to view them if you wish. This could also be a way of getting information about slides and other material that's inaccessible using the H.264 video protocol to a blind person who would like to see them. I'll press Tab now.
Keyboard shortcuts, list box.
And I'm in a list box now containing all of the keyboard shortcuts that are supported by the Zoom client. I find it's a good idea to come into this list box and check from time to time because they are updated. Now you can go ahead and review these keyboard commands yourself, but let's just have a quick look. I'll press the home key to make sure I'm at the top of the list.
Shortcut, F6, description, navigate among Zoom pop-up windows.
So you can see it's a very accessible list.
Shortcut, Control plus Alt plus Shift, description, change focus to Zoom meeting controls at the top when sharing your screen, at the bottom when not sharing.
Zoom also maintains a list of accessibility keyboard shortcuts on its website. So what you may wish to do is to go to the website and get the list from there, and then maybe store it in a document on your device so that as you become familiar with Zoom Cloud Meetings, you can refer to it quickly without having to go back to the website. Alternatively, you could add that page containing the accessibility shortcuts as a favorite or a bookmark in your browser and refer to it when you need to. You'll find over time that the more you use the client, of course, the more these keyboard commands become second nature. We'll be talking about these specific commands as they come up in the tutorial, but for now, I'm going to press the Tab key. If you'd like to explore this list to get a feel for just how powerful an accessibility tool this is, then feel free to pause the tutorial and up and down arrow through this list.
Accessibility tab checked selected.
And that's the end of the accessibility tab and also the end of the settings in this client. I'll press the Escape key.